All right. Hey, so back in 2016, when I just finished my freshman year at Arkansas, and I knew I wasn't going to go back there, I went with my family on a trip to Turkey, and really kind of all around the Middle East a little bit. And I went to, we were really doing this Journeys of Paul. So we were following the path that the Apostle Paul went on some of his missionary journeys, and we got to Turkey, so we went all the way around. But when we were in Turkey, there was like this city, you know, anytime you go overseas, there's just knockoff everything. Like, you can buy whatever you want, any brand, and it looks semi-legit. And you get to wear it back to the United States looking like you spent a lot of money on it, but really it was like $5. And so while we were there, I copped these, some Yeezys, with me and my dad and my brother. Actually, I think both my brothers got it too. And I brought them home. We wore them everywhere. And I brought them home. And so the reason I got them is because, obviously, Yeezys in America at the time, even more so than now, were much harder to get and much more expensive. And so when I saw the opportunity to get them there for, like, I think I literally got them for $15, I obviously took that opportunity. And so when I came back to the United States, what was interesting, what I found out is, like, depending on who I was around, I, talked differently about these shoes. And so if I was around some of my friends who, you know, I knew were, like, shoe guys and, like, thought that I would be cooler if I had cool shoes, I wouldn't say anything, and I'd just kind of hope they noticed and saw them, and then that they would think, man, those are legit Yeezys. And then around other friends and around some people who, like, maybe I didn't know as well and I didn't want them to judge me right off the bat for spending $220 on shoes, I would be like, no, dude, fake. Immediately, I'd be like, no. Listen, I would never spend $220 on shoes, okay? That's bad stewardship. I wouldn't do it. You know, and these are from Turkey. I actually went, and I'd give them the whole story, the whole rundown. And I also noticed, like, how I cared for these shoes. You know, if you had real Yeezys, I feel like I've seen memes when people get, like, Jordans and, like, it rains outside and they're wearing bags around their feet or they take their shoes off and walk with them. Me, like, literally, there was a flood, and it, long story short, my car flooded one time, and so I was parked in the same spot because I'm an idiot, and the rain was coming down, so I went outside and I was like, I gotta move my car. So I threw on the fake Yeezys, and I literally walked through water like this deep with those things on, because I just didn't care about them. I had no value in these shoes. And I start there tonight because, like the screen says, we're talking about cultural Christianity. And just like I treated my Yeezys around certain people a certain way, or depending on the circumstance a certain way, I think a lot of us in the room, or especially a lot of us in America, Christians, in air quotes, in America, treat their faith differently depending on who they're around or who's in the room or what their circumstance is. And so in the same way that I treated these Yeezys with just kind of disrespect or respect around others, I think we do that with our faith and depending on who's around us. So again, cultural Christianity, just to kind of frame the whole night, I think the definition of a cultural Christian is someone who adopts the appealing parts of the Christian faith to their life, but does not surrender their life to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So someone who picks and chooses what parts of Christianity fit them at a specific time, but they don't actually surrender their full life to Christ. And it results in compromise, uncomfortable friendships, and a bunch of other things that we're going to talk about tonight. And so I think a lot of you guys have grown up, I don't know, how many of you guys are from Dallas in general? Yeah, not even a third of y'all. I think a lot of us have grown up all around the country from different churches, different places. Most of y'all didn't grow up here, if any of y'all. And we grew up in churches that you'd go maybe Sunday, maybe Wednesday night with your family, but you would go home. On the way to church, you'd fight with your family, you'd park, and that's when you'd stop fighting. You wouldn't say anything as you walked in, and then you'd sit down, you'd have a smiley face on, you'd leave. You wouldn't talk about Jesus for the whole week, and then you'd rinse and repeat that cycle again coming the next week. And that is cultural Christianity. And we grew up in that. And our churches didn't call us out. Our churches didn't call us to more. They said, man, if you come, you keep the lights on, you tithe, I'll keep giving you a lukewarm message and we'll call it good. Some of you guys maybe have never been inside of a church that, or met a Christian that really practices what a Christ follower does. And maybe you're here tonight and you're like, man, I'm just here because one of my friends dragged me here, but I really have no, I don't want anything to do with Christianity. I don't want anything to do with, maybe what the person next to me says they're about. Your ears are already calloused to what Christians have to say because what you see in Christianity, what you see in the culture is completely different than what God's word says. And you don't even know what God's word says because you've never met a Christian. You've met people who say they're evangelicals or say that they're following Jesus. But the reality is they're just not a Muslim or they're just not a Hindu. So I guess they must be Christian, right? I'm American, so I'm Christian. And tonight, I'm going to show you why that's not a reality, and you've never met a Christian. Maybe some of you guys don't even, like, you're a little nervous even being here tonight. I know that this is specific to maybe one campus. I've talked to a couple of y'all there. And you don't even want to go to church. You don't want to be affiliated with a Christian organization because at your school, that's not cool. Like, you're not going to get a bid in a fraternity or sorority, and I rush in the fall, or sorry, in the spring, and so I have to wait a semester before people can really find out who I am and that I'm a Christian. And I would challenge you, if that's you, if you're nervous to be seen at a Christian place or to be known as a Christian, I would challenge you to really question if you really believe what you think you believe. And then some of you think that coming here tonight may earn your salvation. Some of you think that doing small group, going to church, doing good things, that, you know, walking the old lady across the street, giving money to the church, you know, serving, going on mission trips, that is the stuff that makes you a Christian. And to you, I would say, that's not what a Christian is either. All of those different things are different versions of what people tell you Christianity is. But hopefully tonight, we can unpack some of those lies and fill them with truths. And so that's what we're going to attempt to do tonight, just talking about this idea, because this is crossover culture. And the rest of this series, we're going to talk about some more serious-ish topics, some more controversial, political, kind of however you want to fill in the gap, because I think I said this last week, but how many of you guys in this room have never voted in a presidential election? Okay, yeah, I think is how many of you have? Like 10. And you guys should have graduated already. So I'm just kidding. Just expose yourselves. I'm just totally joking. So most of you guys for the first time are going to get to vote in a presidential election. And you're having culture scream at you all of these different things. You're hearing, this is what a Christian is. This is what a Christian will vote for. One pastor that I really respect just said, if you're a true Christian, you're going to vote for Donald Trump. And then other pastors say, if you're a true Christian, you can't vote for Donald Trump. And then there's others who say, well, Joe Biden's a practicing Catholic, so you should vote for, you know, there's just all of these perspectives screaming at you. And hopefully, as we walk through this series, you guys see that these things that we're going to talk about are not political topics. They are biblical topics that have become political that we just want to give you. We don't want to say, this is what Grant's going to talk about next week. We don't want to talk about vote Republican, vote Democrat, you should be a libertarian. Like, none of that. It's going to be, this is what a Christian, this is what God's word says about these different topics, and this is how you should think about it. And then hopefully you guys just really pray and think and meditate on what God's word says about, you know, all of that's going on in culture. But the main point, the reason this sermon is so important, cultural Christianity, choosing the cross over culture, is because we also have to choose real Christianity over cultural Christianity. We have to choose to really follow Jesus over the nominal, complacent, picking and choosing the appealing parts of Christianity so that others think more highly of me. So that my friends who think Yeezys are cool think highly of me. And then so the people who would judge me for wearing Yeezys, I'm going to tell them immediately, these aren't real. These are fake. I have no value. And again, like we do that with our faith. With those who we want to think highly of us and they're our Christian friends, we're going to have our Bible out when they come over. We're going to have it on our coffee table open to the page that we've highlighted the most. We're going to, just do things to make them think more highly of us. And then to our friends who maybe aren't into it as much, you know, Bible gets put away. We don't really talk about Christian faith. We might even like downplay our seriousness about it. And both of those extremes are sinful. And so again, tonight, we're gonna address some lies and fill it with truth, hopefully. So the first lie is that cultural Christianity is for everyone, right? Cultural Christianity is for everyone. This is actually a semi-truth that all of these are gonna be things that culture believes is true, but we're gonna know is lie. Cultural Christianity is for everyone. So Richard Dawkins, how many of you guys know who that is? He recently died, under a year ago, I think. He's a renowned atheist, one of the most famous. He said all of these terrible things about Christianity and God, but at the same time, he was saying, but like low-key, I'm a cultural Christian. Like, I do all the things that Christian people do. I just don't believe in God. I think that like loving your neighbor is a great moral ethic. Like, I think that being treated as others, or treat others as you would want to be treated, that's a great golden rule. Like, I'm going to pick and choose different things that Jesus said. I like Jesus. I think he might have even been a real person. But I don't believe he was God, and I don't believe he was good. Right? That was Richard Dawkins. And he called himself a cultural Christian, which is just mind-blowing, because to us, that's even a step too far. It's like, no, you're not a cultural Christian. You're an atheist. Right? But he said, I could pass as a Christian. What's crazy is that there's a study, there's this group of people who do studies, and this particular group of people studies the state of theology in America. And so they recently did, they do every 2 years update kind of their statistics. So this is actually a stat from 2020. If you went online to literally Google state of theology, study, that you'd find in 6 days the 2020 study is going to come out, and this is like a leaked, a statistic from it that they let out, that one third of evangelicals, so an evangelical is essentially another word for a Christian, one third of evangelicals say that Jesus was a good man, but not God. One third, that's 33%. That means, from right here over, you guys, for the proportion of if the rest of this room was the other Christians in America, this part thinks that Jesus was good, but not God, right? Which is what Richard Dawkins believed. And guys, that is not Christianity. That is the furthest thing from it. If you don't believe that Jesus was God, then you don't believe Christianity. And so there's a third of evangelicals in the United States who, if that's truly what they believe, are not saved. They don't understand the gospel. They don't understand who Jesus is and what he came to do for them. And that is the state of theology in America and of the church. That is cultural Christianity to its finest, where we're coming in and we're teaching messages that we feel good. We say hey man, you can do it. It's you. You're all powerful. And we make ourselves mini gods. And so we diminish the name of Jesus at the same time. But what a true Christ follower means is that Christianity is not for everyone. Christianity is actually only for the people who choose the long road, the narrow road, and the hard path. Right? Christianity is not easy. It's not for everyone. It's not for anyone who just wants to adopt a Christian ethic. There's a lot of people in this world who adopt the Christian ethic who are not saved and who are not Christians. Jesus said himself in Matthew 7 in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction." The way of cultural Christianity leads straight to hell. It's wide and easy. Come one, come all. Anyone who wants to be nice to their neighbor, come on, you're a cultural Christian. But he says, "And those who enter by it are many, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few." Guys, the Christian life, following Jesus, is not easy. You don't go along with culture. You're going to have to take a stand. You're going to have to choose the narrow path while the rest of your classmates take the far and the easy and the wide path. But the Christian way is different. It's the narrow road. It's the one that fewer choose, and it's hard. Jesus says again earlier in that sermon, he says, "Blessed are those who persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Luke 9:23 says, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, take up a weapon of death and destruction, and follow me." And then in John 14:6, he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you would have known me, you would have known my Father also." So Jesus is saying, there is not, like you heard it all over there, you're going to be hated, you're going to be persecuted, your friends aren't going to like you, the road is narrow. Jesus says, "I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life." You have to believe that I am God, I and the Father are one. There's no other way to the Father except through me. Those are all Jesus' words, and he's saying it's a narrow gate. There's a book called Pilgrim's Progress, and there's this character named Christian, and it's literally this amazing book, fiction book, and it's a book all about the Christian walk, right? It starts from salvation, or it actually really starts from like an interest in Christianity, and so the guy who wrote it, really creative guy, literally named all of these characters by kind of the role that they play in a Christian's life. And so the main character is called Christian. And he's on this journey to the celestial city, which is heaven. And along the way, he meets all of these people who kind of engage with him, encounter, and like who offer distractions or who offer encouragement. And there's one character named Formalist. And then, well, there's two people, Formalist and Hypocrisy. And these people represent cultural Christians. And kind of the way the story goes is Christian enters through a wicker gate, which is essentially when he enters in through to salvation, when he's sealed by the Spirit and he's on his way. The rest is his sanctification. And he meets Formalist and Hypocrisy, and he's like, "Where have you got? I didn't pass y'all on the road. Like, I didn't see you guys. Were you ahead of me? When did you go through the wicker gate?" And these guys are like, "The wicker gate? What are you talking about? I hopped the fence. Like, over there, we through the field, we kind of ran across and jumped over the fence." And he's struggling to understand because he's like, no. All Christians go through the gate. Everybody goes through it's a narrow road. Everyone has to go through the wicker gate and they have to be let in. And these guys are like, "Well, I don't know what you're talking about. We just jumped the gate. We jumped the fence. It's easy. Right? We're just here chilling and like on our way, I guess, to the celestial city." And what this signifies is people who have taken a shortcut, who think that they're, you know, Christians, but they're really just going along with probably whoever they saw jump the gate. They're like, "I'll go with them." And they were cultural Christians. And the story goes on to where these two are found out as frauds, and they're sent all the way back outside of the journey to the celestial city. And so the lie as a cultural Christian is for everyone, and the truth is that being a Christ follower, you're going to look different. It's going to be hard. There's going to be challenges. But Jesus says, "And blessed are you who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for they revile against you because they also reviled against me and the prophets before me." So guys, take heart. It's not easy. It's going to be hard. But that's the Christian walk. That's what a true Christian is. And if you're on this path, this wide and easy road, man, check your reality. Are you truly following Christ, or are you tricking yourself into thinking that you're doing what a Christian does, but really you have no fruit? There's nothing in your life that would really signify that you have a saving faith. And I would beg you to ask yourself that question, man, am I a cultural Christian, or am I really pursuing a life that is full of goodness and joy and pleasure when walking with Christ? Line number two, a cultural Christian only cares about their outward appearance. Right? Cultural Christians, again, with the Yeezys, like, "I only cared what people thought about me because it was really, I mean, I was just really dependent on people's approval, depending on what I would, who I was around. And so a cultural Christian only cares about their outward appearance. You don't care about what's really inside of you going on. You don't care about if these like have, I don't know how Yeezys are like verified, but like apparently, you know, the stripes on the back, there's 13 of them. Like, I don't care if the reality of what's inside is messed up, is nasty, is ugly, or the people that really know me know that I'm just a horrible person. I just care about what the masses kind of think about me. And guys, this was me in high school. I grew up at this church. I was plugged into everything. I was considered like the all-star kid in the youth group, raised in the church, parents are believers. I had leadership positions everywhere, whether it was in school, at summer camps, in the church. I had everyone thinking that Cooper was the epitome of a Christian, but in my heart, there was just wickedness and sin. It was just so much pride about what people thought of me. I was addicted to pornography. I was at home. I was way too prideful to do anything in public that I thought people would see. I would never party. I would never mess around with girls. I would never do this or that. But because no one can see this part of me, I'm going to just completely hide. I'm never going to confess. I'm not going to do what Christians do. I'm just going to continue to put this image out there that I'm doing great. I've got these leadership positions. You guys wouldn't believe. I'm an amazing Christian. I got everyone at church thinking I'm good, and they give me all these compliments. Everyone says I'm great with parents, but inside my heart is wasting away. And some of you guys may be there. Some of you guys are at Christian schools, and you're convincing everybody you're a biblical studies major, but inside you're wasting away. You grew up as a cultural Christian. You've never encountered Christ. You've never been a Christ follower. You know all the right answers. You know what to say when someone asks you how you're doing, what you're learning. You know how to get by, but you're not a Christ follower. And the culture is just going to tell you, that's enough. Just practice the morality. You're good. Guys, that's a lie. Being a cultural Christian keeps you performing and unsatisfied. If you're a cultural Christian, you're going to, again, depending on who you're around, kind of manage what you do, what you say, how you talk. And it's going to leave you unsatisfied because, man, you can't serve two masters. You can't serve both Christ and the culture. And so sometimes we think that there's, and this is a pun intended, right? Like we think there's crossover between culture and Christianity and that the church should look like culture to attract more people and the culture should look like the church and blah, blah, blah. And we think there's crossover. But really, we have to choose the cross over the culture. We have to choose to follow Christ more than we choose to let the culture inform how we're living. And if we don't do this, we're going to find ourselves torn between two worlds, and thousands have tried to do what Christ said was impossible, which is to serve two masters. And thousands have walked straight to hell with tiny little steps of compromise. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. All these people thought they were doing the right thing. They thought they were convincing everybody that they were Christians, and they were headed straight for hell. And you live in this constant state of discomfort that's too much religion to be happy in the world and too much of the world to be happy in Christianity. And I use those words religion and Christianity intentionally because when we have too much of the world to be happy in religion, that's all it is religion. And when we have too much of Christ to be happy in the world, I think that is maybe a conviction in your heart that is saying, man, give it up, go all in, come to me. Like Josh and the band saying, is, man, just turn around, run to the Father, fall into grace, stop hiding, come to me. And I'm telling you guys, if you just surrender, there's freedom in that. And on the contrary, while cultural Christianity tells you, I only care about the outward appearance, Christ says and God says, man, I look at the heart. God does not look at the outward appearance of man. He looks at the heart. 1 Samuel 16:7 is talking about David. Samuel is out trying to find the next king because Saul has already gone off the deep end. If you want to look at a perfect example of somebody who they thought was a leader, someone who could lead the nation, who was to follow God to prosperity, they look for the guy who looked like what a king should look like. but inside he was wasting away. He was not a follower of Yahweh. And the Lord said to Samuel, 1 Samuel 16:7, "Do not look on his appearance or his height or his stature, because I have rejected him." And really, he's talking about Saul and David's brothers, as Samuel, like David's dad had lined up all his brothers, and Samuel went down and was like, "He looks like a king, he looks like a king, he looks like a king," all the way down the list. And God's like, "Do not look at the outward appearance. Don't look at the height, the stature, because I've rejected those. For God sees not as a man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." God is looking at your heart. Matthew 23:27-28 says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, you who do things just so you can be seen. For you are like whitewashed tombs, places where dead people lay, but whitewashed, clean, which outwardly looks beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and uncleanliness. So you also who are outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." This verse perfectly nail on the head cultural Christianity. Pharisees, the people who had all of the answers. They were supposed to be the pastors for the priests and pastors for Israel, God's chosen people. And they had, you know, all the rituals down. They did everything that was supposed to make them religious, but they had no relationship with the one who truly saved. And they were like whitewashed tombs. Pretty on the outside, dead people on the inside. And so guys, walking with Jesus though, when you encounter Jesus, walking with him gives you freedom to engage a lost and broken world. Galatians 5:1 says, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm therefore and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery." Don't submit to this desire to please your friends and those around you. Submit to the freedom which Christ has died for to give you. You're no longer performing for your friends. You're no longer caring about what those around you, you know, think is cool or think you're gonna get approval from. Christ has set you free from that yoke. He set you free from the bondage of sin, and he set you free to love those around you recklessly like he loves you. And you don't have to worry anymore. There's freedom in surrender, like we talked about last week. Cultural Christianity, line number three, keeps you performing. Oh, sorry, I already read that. I guess I had it on here twice. So we're on number four. Cultural Christianity practices a form of godliness but denies its power. When you are a cultural Christian, again, you do all the things that a Christian should do. You go to church, you do small group, you serve at the church maybe, you give money to the church, you read your Bible daily, but there's no power. There's nothing that really changes in your heart. There's nothing that infiltrates your soul and changes how you live day to day. It's just this ritual that you go through. You practice a form of godliness but deny the power. 2 Timothy 3:1-5. I'm not going to read all of it, but if you have it, you can put it all up there. Really, the key verse in this is verse 5. Verses 1 through 4 talk, if you just look at it really quickly, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, slanderous, lack of self-control, brutal, loving good. Go to the next one. Just all of these just terrible things. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness, but denying the power. Avoid such people. If you looked at that list, that is exactly where our culture is at. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Deceitful, slanderous. Go back and read that. 2 Timothy 3:1-5. These people who you read that list, just treacherous things, but even still practice a form of godliness. They still button up on Sunday. They still go to small group and don't confess anything, or maybe say, "I struggled with lust," but really they're enslaved to pornography, or I was prideful, but really looking around the room and thinking, "I'm better than every single one of you in here." There's a quote by a man named J.C. Ryle who says, there's hardly ever been a man who does not take pleasure in that there is always someone more wicked than him. And cultural Christianity is going to convince you that because you're not as bad as the person next to you, you're doing pretty good. And that, guys, is a lie. The standard is not the culture. The standard is not the people around you. The standard is not your classmates, not your teacher. The standard is perfection. The standard is Jesus. And because of that, like because of this perfect standard, ever since the beginning, keep the whole law, man, it doesn't look good for us. We are all broken, all sinful. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned. So what do we do about this perfect standard that is set for us? Well, it also says the wages of sin is death. So are we condemned to die? The second part of that verse says, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Because Jesus came and he hit that standard. Because while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We are now have the opportunity to not practice cultural Christianity, but to go all in with Christ. We are now seen as sons. We are adopted. We are loved by God because his son came and fulfilled and met that perfect standard and died for us, took the sin that we deserve, the penalty that we deserve, and bore it on himself. The Lord took the iniquity of us all and bore it on himself. And if we just would confess with our mouths, if we would just say, Lord, I'm done playing this game of two sides. I'm going to, these friends choose this, and these friends choose this, and with my church friends choose this. If we would just confess with our mouths that, Jesus, you are Lord. I don't want to live for the culture anymore. I don't want to live for the approval of man. I want to live for you. Because you love me. You sent your son to die for me. And it's only through you that I can find life. And Romans 10:9-10 say it clearly. It's for if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Not only did he die, he beat death and rose from the dead. Death no longer has its sting on you. It doesn't have victory anymore. In death, we find life. We go to eternity with him. And so if we just confess that, we don't have to live under this bondage of cultural Christianity being tossed to and fro by the waves of this world, which is my next point, is that cultural Christianity follows the waves of this world. We often find ourselves following the trends of celebrities, Christian celebrities specifically, in cultural Christianity, rather than following Jesus himself. Right? I think a lot of us have probably fallen prey to that recently with different celebrity conversions that we've gotten to see, which has been amazing. Kanye West, Justin Bieber, Chris Pratt. You remember when Chris Pratt gave that speech and the whole world freaked out? I don't know if any of y'all remember that. He said it was so vague. He said something about God and everyone was like, oh, Chris Pratt is a Christian. And more recently, again, Kanye West. I mean, this whole sermon is about Kanye and Yeezys. But man, A.W. Tozier, and this convicted me. I read this right around the same time that Kanye got saved. And praise God, again, I'm not trying to make this about, it's a bad that we celebrate when celebrities get saved. Like, man, I hope they use their influence for good and so that other people can come into a saving faith and they see the transformation that, man, I see these 7 albums that are pretty crass and vulgar, and then I see this one album that says Jesus is King and is way different. Like, that's amazing. That's what Jesus did. He does. He takes dead bones and breathes life into them and changes everything about them. But cultural Christians, when that happens, nothing changes. They just, depending on the season, may depend on the kind of album that they put out. But this really convicted me. It's a quote by, again, A.W. Tozier. It says, how eagerly do we seek the approval of this or that man of worldly reputation? How shamefully do we exploit the converted Christian? Anyone will do to take away the reproach of obscurity from our publicity-hungry leaders. Famous athletes, congressmen, world travelers, rich industrialists, before we bow with obsequious smiles and honor them in our public meetings and our religious press, thus we glorify men to enhance the standing of the church of God. and the glory of the Prince of Life is made to hang upon the transient fame of a man who shall die. And so in cultural Christianity, a lot of times we put way more, you know, support and excitement behind these celebrity conversions than we do behind the only thing that matters, which is the cross, which is Jesus, who, before Kanye West got converted, the story of Christianity was still true and still worthy of our affection and of our praise and of our adoration and of our lives. Kanye West didn't change that. And so the truth to combat that is true Christianity never changes, and it's grounded in the Word of God. Christianity is not something to be embraced because of who embraces it. It's something to embrace because it's true. The story is true. It's been tested. It's been anchored in history. People have gone on, dedicated their whole life to disprove the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And almost every time that someone truly dedicates their life to disproving that, they find out that it's true. There's stories all over the place like that. You know, C.S. Lewis, that's what he was trying to do. He was trying to disprove Christianity, and the more he looked into it, the more he was like, this is true. I cannot deny this. My intellect won't let me deny this. Christianity is true, and it's worth giving my life to. Not because of who else follows it, but because it's true. And the last point that I want to talk about tonight is cultural Christianity. It leads to eternal separation from God. Matthew 7:21-23 says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will come to me and say, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" Cultural Christianity ends in eternal separation from God. This isn't a game. This life isn't a popularity contest to see how many people we can get to like us, and so we're going to waver between groups of people. This is a life that we've been given. It's a gift. It's a free gift of God to even breathe today. And we are to give every moment, every second for the glory of God. He's given us another day so that we may bring glory to him. It's not about us. It's about Jesus Christ and the story that the Father has written all through history, and he wants to use it to change your life. He wants you to come to know him. He wants to take away this fake Christianity. Like, imagine if I'm walking around, you know, Cody, Wyoming, or Calabasas, and I'm rocking these, and I bump into Kanye. And you know what he's going to immediately say is like, "Bro, those are fake. Like, did you think you could fool me? I designed those. I made those. I can see right through you. You probably got those in Turkey. I've seen 1,000 like them." And he might sue me and get a restraining order against me. And then I'd be like, that was quick. That didn't take long. But imagine if I bump into Kanye. What really would matter is what I think, how he would respond. You know, would Kanye do what I just said and scold me and sue me and send me away? Or would he like go run inside his house and be like, "Bro, you're practicing the wrong thing. You got the are you poor? Okay, come here. Let me help you out. Right, let me get you some real easies." And maybe he'd go inside and he'd go get me some 350s and give me the real thing. And I could now, not depending on who I was around, but I could just kind of walk in the comfort of knowing, you know, these are a gift. This isn't even me like spending a ton of money. This is a gift to me. Kanye gave me these. They were free. And they're real. And he saw right through me. He saw that I was wearing the fakes, and he wanted to replace them with the real thing. Because that is what Jesus wants to do. One day, we're all going to stand before Jesus. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. We will stand there. And what you think Jesus wants for you today is what really matters, right? Because he doesn't want you to walk around in the fake Christianity, in the cultural Christianity. He wants to give you the real thing, and he wants to give you the fullness of life that comes with it. Again, John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. Guys, Jesus wants to give you the real thing. He doesn't want you walking around in fakes. He wants to bless you. It's a free gift. Like I said earlier, this isn't something you have to do. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to come to church to get it. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. There's no amount of works you can do. It's a gift. It's the gift of God. So that, not on the basis of works, so that no man may boast." And then it says, "For we are his workmanship created in Christ to do good works." Like, once he saves you, once he calls you out of cultural Christianity, out of the complacency of that, he's given you this gift. And how do you respond to somebody who gives you a gift? You thank them, and then you do everything you can to pay them back. And so this isn't a compulsion. This isn't like a, man, because I gave you this, you have to give me this. Like, Kanye, if he gave me Yeezys, he wouldn't ask me for, like, Nikes. He's just like, man, just show me gratitude. You know, go tell others about how great Yeezys are now. And so that's what our mission is now. Because you get to invite others into the fullness of life that is walking with Christ. And you don't have to be burdened by the bondage of trying to win others' approval. But God has given you the free gift, and you're freed to love others and call them to it. So I just pray that you guys would remember that, you would think on this, you would question yourself, am I practicing cultural Christianity or am I following Christ truly? Let me pray for you guys. Ben's gonna sing a song. We'll close and get out of here. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the opportunity to do some evaluation and wonder, Lord, are we just living for man's approval, or are we living for the audience of one? God, is pray that you would call us out of cultural Christianity. You would call us out of comfortability. You would call us out of this idea that the path is wide and, you know, many can come through. Pray that we would know that you are the way, you are the truth, you are the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through you. Thank you for the free gift that you've given us through your Son. I pray that we would walk in the freedom that you offer through that, and that we would love others, not based on who we're around, but based on the fact, the truth, the reality that you love us, and that would free us to engage a lost and hurting world, and that we wouldn't pander to culture's idea of a Christian. We would only listen to what your word says, who a Christ follower is. In Jesus' name we pray.